Hello, podcasters. How do we change the world? One successful podcast at a time. You're listening to Become a Successful Podcaster with host Bruce Chamoff. Rate him on Apple Podcasts.
You have a podcast? Now it's time to grow it. Build your audience, monetize, and more. It's all about becoming a successful podcaster. Now here's your host, Bruce Chamoff.
So you're listening to Become a Successful Podcaster. You're actually watching the video. And today I have a guest, Frank Sasso, from the Anxiety Therapist Podcast. Frank is an award-winning podcaster, and he has a very successful practice as a therapist. And when you listen to his podcast, you can tell that he actually knows what he's talking about. He wants to help his audience members, and he's growing because of that. He has a lot of people that listen to, and he has a lot of different subject matter on parenting, on growing up, on all types of family-related therapy and anxiety. And I'm a fan. I subscribe to it. Today, we're talking to Frank about what it takes to become a successful podcaster. And I have a bunch of questions for him. And Frank and I, just to let you know, we actually met on the New York City Podcast Network. And his show is doing very well there as well. So Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bruce. Thank you for having me today.
You are welcome, and I'm so honored to have you. And by the way, everybody, I was also on Frank's podcast. We are interviewing each other for each other's podcast. So it's not just a one-way thing.
Absolutely.
And I hope actually to be on guests with other podcasters as well. It's definitely worth it. And Frank, I'm going to talk to you about being a podcaster. First of all, I just want everyone to know, what is your background as a therapist and as a podcaster as well?
Okay, sure. So I'm a licensed professional therapist here in Chicago, Illinois. I've been working in mental health for the better part of about 15 years. I tend to work with, for whatever reason, over the years, I've sort of ended up specializing working with both men and women who struggle with anxiety-related issues, panic attacks, or other generalized anxiety disorders. And I also work with parents who struggle with anxiety and stress and sometimes want coaching around parenting.
That's excellent. And what about as a podcaster? How do you take your expertise as a licensed therapist and turn it into a podcast?
Sure. Well, I'm going to give my age away a little bit here, but you know, growing up, some of the role models, and yes, I said role models, I had growing up were people like Tom Brokaw, or I used to watch Peter Jennings, or I would watch Ted Koppel, and I would just be amazed at how they would be able to give people the news. And while my podcast isn't a news podcast in that sense, it is a podcast where I'm sharing information. And so I was always looking for a venue to sort of follow in the steps of what they did. And when I discovered that, hey, I can actually do a podcast and talk about anxiety and stress and how people can live a healthier lifestyle, I just started doing it.
That's great. And you're sharing your actual knowledge with your members. And one thing I always tell podcasters that they don't always know is what the demographics are of their audience members. And it's very important to know the age group, sometimes the gender, if they're married or not, and actually where they live, because the audience demographics and also what we call the psychographics, which is their lifestyle, you know, and a lot of people don't know, a lot of people do know what demographics are, but they don't know what psychographics are. And for those people who are listening, psychographics is basically the lifestyle of your audience. Like, what are their hobbies? What is their sexual orientation? What do they love sports? What kind of music do they listen to? What kind of food do they eat? Because all that makes it very important, and it shapes your podcast. So Frank, what is the demographic and psychographics of your audience members?
Well, now, first off, the way I'm able to get the best estimate of just the demographics is I use Google Analytics. I look at who's visiting my website, and Google actually does a very good job of letting the person who runs the website know who's coming to their website, where they're coming from, their age. So for me, it's basically, it's predominantly female. There are some males. It's between the ages of about 34. That's what Google tells me, between 34 and 48, 49 years old. Of course, there are others outside of that who do listen to it. And I get listeners from all over the world, a lot here in the United States, but in places like the Philippines, India, all over the UK. It's actually surprising and really interesting to look into that Google Analytics dashboard to see who's coming to your website and what episodes they're really checking out.
That's great. I'm glad you know that. And you're using Google Analytics, which is very important for that. Now, one technical part of it for anyone that's listening is you can plug in your Google Analytics, what they call the UA number, into your Anchor, or if you have Buzzsprout, you can put all that in. And for those of you that have not done that, it's very important, because Frank just nailed it. He knows the general demographics of his particular audience, right? They're between the ages of 34 and 49. They're female. They're coming from different countries, like India, I think it's the Philippines, obviously the United States, because that's probably where you're doing most of your marketing from. So it's really good that you know that, Frank. And I think the one thing I'll say, though, about Google Analytics is that it gives you limited demographics, right? What I mean by that is, yes, they know your age group, which is scary enough. They know your gender, and they know a couple of other pieces. But I also find that, I'm going to say this to everybody, it's you need to just ask your audience, you know, maybe on your website, have a poll or a survey. And, you know, people don't put their name in, that's fine. But you want that anonymous person to say, I am this age, I'm that demographic. And then, because Google is great, but it only gives you a certain number of demographics, definitely plug that in. But Frank knows what a lot of podcasters don't, and I really commend you for that. That's great.
Well, Bruce, you mentioned something that was really interesting, which was the psychographics. Yes. And I know there's a way to get it, but I'm not sure how. How would a person sort of research the psychographics of the episodes or the podcast?
I think that's a good question, Frank. And I would say, well, first of all, I mentioned you could probably have a poll, right? Or a survey. So the survey is something like that. Like what I mentioned, that a lot of people need to know the sexual orientation of their members, right? They need to know if they're hetero or you know, homosexual, or what is their gender, because a lot of podcasts are geared around if you're a lesbian or you're a gay man or you're a straight man or a straight woman. Very important. So on your website, you have that as a question. Are you heterosexual? Are you homosexual? What kind of sports are you in? That should be another question. So what happens is, are you a baseball fan? Are you a basketball fan, right? Do you love tennis? Do you not like sports at all? And what kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to classical, heavy metal, country, right? And go on, right? Once people fill that out, if you use a program like, let's say, SurveyMonkey, they tabulate it all for you. So if you have 50% of the people, let's say, I like rock music, and 10% like hip-hop, you're going to know. And then maybe you can break up your content with that type of music. If you notice that you have 50% basketball fans, right? And then you have some kind of news on somebody in the NBA. Well, you know that maybe you want to get somebody from the NBA on your podcast. That will make your audience so happy, because now you're meeting the psychographic need. And it just makes people tune into your podcast more and more and stay there. It's not just about audience growth. It's about audience retention.
That's right? Great info. Thank you for letting me know that. I learn something new every day.
Yeah, you're welcome. You could just do it on Facebook. Well, today Facebook is down, but when Facebook goes up, if you can even just ask people, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to ask you, I think that your podcast is successful. this is what my job is to make podcasts successful. And I can be honest and say, not everybody's podcast is successful. You have a lot of ratings. You have shows on a regular basis. How do you measure success?
And that's a really good question. I measure success in a couple of ways.
Become a successful podcaster. We'll be right back after these messages.
My name is Tim Wright.
And Brady throws, and that's caught. Goes Tim Wright for the touchdown.
Have you ever experienced open-air listening? You can really feel the music. Have you ever wanted more options when it comes to fashion and headphones? Well, now you do. Welcome to the future of sound. The D4 has a 4-point speaker system providing surround sound fidelity, Bluetooth connectivity, dual mics for taking phone calls, a port for audio jack plug-in, and a USB port for charging on the go.
The bass hit me right in the cranium.
Like, the sound is crazy.
Yeah, this is dope.
Our unique dome covers provide branding, fashion interchangeability, and closed ear noise isolation.
Kind of revolutionary.
It just paid.
Oh my God.
Who invented these? Like, who's the mastermind behind these?
To learn more about Dome Audio, go to domeaudioinc.com. That's domeaudioinc.com.
Yes, the reviews, when I get that feedback, when someone writes a review, it means the world to me. Because let's face it, it's not like they come in every single day. And when they do come in, I really pay attention to that. And it makes me feel good. The other part is, because I'm a therapist, a lot of my own patients listen to the podcast. I stress to them that, no, this isn't therapy, but they listen. And when I receive their word of mouth feedback, like, hey, Frank, I listened to that episode, then I know that I've connected. So it's through the reviews. It's through some of the social media. I'll get back some feedback on Instagram. And it's all those nuggets of feedback and information that lets me know that I'm fulfilling a need and I'm doing an okay job.
So feedback from your audience, pretty much.
Right.
That's great. Yes. And that's what people need. They need to know that the audience is listening. I mean, if you're running a blog and you're not getting comments, then obviously you're getting feedback of technically nobody. But a blog and a commenting system is exactly the way to know if people are reading your posts. So that's a good, strategy as well. It's just getting that feedback. Like I said, it's a lot of your patients. So you have that connection with your audience already. And that's a good thing, Frank, is when you have your customer base or being a therapist, your patients, it's important to tell them, hey, I have this podcast, I'm on social media, here it is, let's connect. And this what makes you it just automatically makes you more successful.
Absolutely.
Right, then you help them and they share and you get new members. Even though you're not there, they're not your patients,
right,
they still connect with you. So that's excellent. And that's really good. So I want to ask you this, and I'm looking at this question I have. You have me as a guest, and you just took guests. And by the way, for the people who are listening, I love public speaking, and that's no secret to anybody who knows me. So I was just a guest on Frank's show, and the subject was public speaking anxiety. So I was very honored to share my knowledge. So now Frank is doing the same for me and my audience here. With that said, we're guests on each other's shows. Sometimes Frank is a host by himself. Sometimes he has his wife as a co-host, and sometimes he has a combination of both. For everyone that's listening to my show, you know, I have Megan sometimes, and sometimes I don't have Megan, and sometimes I have guests. So Frank, what do you think is the best? I have a couple of episodes on this already. Do you feel that having a guest is better, or a co-host, or both?
Well, I will say this. Now, truth be told, I listen to a lot of the podcasts that you and Megan do together, and I really value the opinion that both of you give on this subject. Now, for me, I like having guests if the guest really can give value to the audience who's tuning in.
Exactly.
Now, I know that there are people who like to have guests just because it means that they have to do less work in the sense of doing the whole podcast by themselves.
Yes.
And I think that's smart. I get it. And I understand. But for me personally, I think there's a lot of value in having a guest on the podcast if they're going to be someone that can really relate to the audience and talk to them about something that they're interested in. In other words, they're not digressing onto another topic.
I agree with that. And I noticed that a lot of podcasters have guests on that might not match the general theme of the content, which is always a bad thing because you lose your audience members real fast. So it's always good to make sure that the guest qualifies. And being that you're a podcaster, you completely match my content and you were doing a whole thing on me with the public speaking. And that's an anxiety. So yes, we really did match each other's content. It's just a very good fit for each other. Not every guest is a fit for your podcast. And I just have to say, you know, qualify the guest. Sorry, go ahead.
I apologize. What I was going to say was, now there have been times when I've had a guest on the podcast where I just never used it. I thank them for their time and I really did appreciate it, but I never used it. And that was for a couple of reasons. Either I didn't jive well with that guest, to be quite honest, like if we weren't a good mix, you can't mix man December. And other times they went completely off on another subject that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. And so rather than spend all my time editing and trying to fix and this and that, I appreciate it and I thank them for their time, but I go on and create the next podcast because I want to put something out that's at least quality.
That's a good point. And I've had guests also that have digressed. And I'll say that the strategy or the way to solve that is, first of all, what we've done with each other, we sent each other the questions ahead of time. So right. We know that, you know, we tell the guests, please answer these questions and don't answer anything else. But you and I didn't have to tell each other that. We already knew. And the other thing, too, is you give the guest a time limit. Because that's, even if they stay on topic, they might spend too much time going off the time limit. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. We only got 3 minutes left and I still have 10 questions to ask you. It's definitely. I mean, even just staying on the subject matter and going off is digressing too. Every once in a while, that's okay. Like as per my Art of Digressing episode.
Yes. Which I listened to. I heard that one. And not to be silly or anything, but one thing that helps me a lot is I listen to shows like your show and others about podcasting because it helps me just the more information I can take in and how to improve the skill of podcasting, this art, then the better I can become at it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, listening to too many podcasts on podcasting can also be confusing because you might hear two podcasters conflict. And right. then you get confused. So it's always good to stick with two or three, I would say, at the most.
Right. That's what I do too.
I'm glad I'm one of them.
You're one of them.
So Frank, I want to ask you, challenges. Everybody that does podcasting has some challenge. What do you feel is yours?
I think for me, the challenge is just having a busy lifestyle. So podcasting is something that I have a passion for. I really enjoy it. But outside of podcasting, I work full time as a therapist.
And I have a
wife and I have a 5-year-old little girl who I loved. I just love her. I adore. But that takes a lot of time. So for me, I've sort of switched lately to doing my podcast if I need to bi-weekly because I want to have quality in it. I would absolutely love to be able to do a podcast a couple times a week or once a week, but I would end up having to give something up for the quality. So that is one of the challenges, the time constraints.
Have you found a way to overcome that challenge, or are you still searching for it? Like a solution for that?
you know, I'm always open to suggestions, but for me, it's to create a schedule and to stick to it. So for example, I may write out the script of the podcast. I'll spend 15 minutes a day, you know, 5 days a week. That's during week one. And then week two is recording it and then editing it and putting it out there. So that's what's worked for me so far.
Yeah, and I have that problem too. And I think a lot of us do. The way I deal with that is I try to record 3 episodes at the same time. I mean, not but one after the other. And then you just schedule it. Now, you're on Buzzsprout, right? So Buzzsprout does let you schedule.
Yes. Buzzsprout will let you schedule in advance.
Right. And so does I'm on Anchor, so does Anchor. So, yes, definitely I'll say to everybody, if you're on a podcast platform, make sure they let you schedule ahead of time. And if I actually find it less work to do 3 podcast episodes in the same sitting than doing one every other day. I guess the reason is because the prep time and the mindset, it takes about 10 minutes for you to get into that mindset, right? So every time you do an episode, you have to waste 5 or 10 minutes of your mental energy. And if you do them all at once, your mental energy is spent once, right? So that's
makes sense.
Yeah, you don't have that prep time every single time. And, you know, time is money and preparation does take time. Like being prepared and organized is not a quick thing, right? That's why a lot of people are not organized with their podcast, because they don't plan ahead of time. But it does take a lot of mental energy to get ready. And if you do it once and then record 3 to 5 episodes at the same time and just schedule them, to me, that's the fastest way. And I try to stick to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. Doesn't always happen, but I've been better that way lately. So it's, you know, one of the things I do. So that's great. What are one of your goals as a podcaster?
So first off, well, my goal here is to just, it sort of warms my heart. It sounds cheesy, but I really do enjoy being a helping professional. So if I can help someone reduce, you know, find strategies to reduce their anxiety or find ways for them to maybe accomplish their goals. I just did an episode on learning how to sort of do away with procrastination. Anything in that helping people realm, that's sort of my goal. The rest of it kind of comes after that.
Well, I definitely want to hear that episode on procrastination, because I think we all do it. And I try not to.
Yeah, so we all do, sure.
But I do listen to a lot of your episodes, Frank, because I find it to be a very informative. Even, I just want to say this, even if you don't suffer from anxiety or you don't think you need a therapist, I got to say that Frank has a lot of episodes that just help people in general with life. You know, we all have challenges in life, and it's always good. I mean, people always say, I want to talk to a therapist, or I want to have a psychiatrist or whatever, go see somebody. You know what? Personally, I've never been to one, but I realize that a lot of your episodes just pertain to real life. And I don't mean real life, but you know what I mean? Like life, that even if you don't think you need a therapist, you can still learn from a lot of episodes on the Anxiety Therapist podcast. So thank you for just being more general.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, because there are a lot of issues in life which wouldn't qualify, in other words, something that people would experience that wouldn't qualify as an anxiety disorder. For example, people wake up in the morning and they feel anxious before they get dressed and head out the door to work or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of topics, those everyday general issues that I try to speak to in my podcast. I talked about procrastination and other issues. So, right, it's not just about some sort of mental health issue.
No, it's good to know. And I can tell you right now, my next question is about how rewarding do you find podcasting?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I find it extremely rewarding, especially when I hear, I'll tell you, I mentioned the reviews, but when I hear from family members and friends, Maybe I'm boosting my own ego, but I actually had somebody the other day say to me, this was a patient of mine. She's like, I listened to your podcast and I had my friends listen to it. And I'm like, hey, that's my therapist. And I don't know, it made me feel good. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that, you know, somebody is speaking well about them or some of the work that they're putting out, and that maybe it helps somebody else in some other way.
No, I agree. That's exactly what you want, is for people to say, hey, this is a great episode, and they share it. There's nothing more rewarding than that. And just helping people in general, right? I feel that every podcaster I listen to helps people. And to me, that's the most rewarding part about it, right? You have a show, you have people that probably have a need, and your show solves that need, or your content does. It's just amazing. So I'm very, you know, I know you find it rewarding, and so do I. So Frank, I'm going to end this and thank you. And I want to say, in 60 seconds, what can you suggest to people who are just starting out in podcasting?
Okay, thank you for that question. Well, what I would say to people is, don't get caught up in all the minutiae and thinking about being a podcaster of like all the steps. It really is important. You just get whatever equipment. If you've got, you know, a microphone, you can get them cheap. And you've got something like an Anchor or a Buzzsprout to get the episodes out, and start recording and putting them out there. Don't spend too much time in the weeds thinking about all the steps you have to take. Just get started.
And that's like anything, right? When you think too much about the steps, it sounds overwhelming until you get your mind into it, and then it's just not as bad as you had thought it would be. The podcast, I'm actually going to come out with a couple of episodes on how to get into podcasting quickly without spending a lot of money or time or preparation. But I feel that the way I'm going to structure this, it's going to help people that have been podcasting for years. So that's excellent. Frank, I want to thank you for coming onto my show and for just doing this dual guest thing that we did with each other. For those people that are listening, I was on his show first, and then we said we're going to be on mine. And I look forward to being a guest on each other's show even more. Like, we're not going to stop it here.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being a guest here on your show today, too.
Yes. So listen, everybody, if you have a particular life problem and you want to get some guidance, what I found that Frank does is he'll listen to your issue or your situation, and he might make a whole episode around it, like he did with one of mine. And that makes you an amazing man. I got to say that. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. So listen, thank you very much. Everybody subscribe to us on Apple and review us. And Frank, we'll talk soon.
See you later. Thank you so much.
You too.